The only place that he could ever find any protection from the avenger of the blood was a city of refuge. Jesus is our only refuge. And there's no other person, no other place to run for asylum in the entire world, think about that, except our Lord.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Hello again, and welcome to Love Never Fails. On today's program, Pastor Bill concludes the message, God, Our Refuge, as the study of the book of Joshua continues. So, let's join the study.
Think about that. He remains faithful. God is faithful, by whom you were called, here it is, into the fellowship, into the koinonia, into the intimacy, sharing with the Lord, into fellowship with His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. How wonderful it is to share in God's purposes, in God's plans, in all the things that God is doing. And you know, Jesus desires that intimacy, fellowshipping with the Lord every day, knowing Him, knowing that He's right beside you, knowing that we're following Him, going down the narrow road. In Bezer, it means fortress, and we've already talked about that, that, you know, God is our fortress. He is our strength. He's our refuge. I'm so glad tonight, no matter how you feel, no matter what you're going through, no matter if your mind is wandering tonight, no matter if you're asleep in the pew, no matter if you are asleep in the pulpit, Bill, we've overcome the world. You know, my brother, you know, who passed away there in September, I have in my library many of his old books, and it's always a joy, you know. I was looking at one the other day, and I think he stole it from me, by the way, but it's okay. But in it, in there, he said, victory is a possession, not an attitude. And I said, Wally, you stole that from me. I know you did, because he wrote it in the front of that book, even though I didn't pen that, you know. But that is a true word, isn't it? Victory is not an attitude. It's our possession. Day or night, no matter what we are facing, no matter what we're going through in this life, the good times, the bad times, whatever it may be, we stand in the perfect Savior who has overcome this world, and we have overcome this world because we believe in Him. Amen? And I think, oh God, You're so good. And Ramoth there, that city, it means heights. Ephesians 2:6 teaches us that we are seated with Christ in the heavenly places. Now, that is our position right now. You can't change that if you're a true believer in Christ Jesus. We're seated there. As far as God's concerned, we're already with Him right this moment. But you know what? Our position needs to lead to experiencing that type of intimacy, that type of walk, knowing that we truly are seated there. I think about that scripture often. That as far as God is concerned, I'm right there next to our Lord. Why is that? Because Jesus, what did the high priest in the Old Testament, what did he have on the ephod? What was on that? Remember the breastplate and all the stones, the names of the 12 tribes of Israel? Amen? Well, our high priest has gone into heaven, seated at the right hand of God, and guess whose names he took with him? All those who belong with him. Amen? And you know what? We are seated right there with him. Golan means circle or complete. The Bible teaches in Colossians 2:10 that we are complete in him who's ahead of all principality and power. We're complete in him. The word is pleru in the Greek. It means like if I tore this bush or what do you call those things? Poinsettia. If you took this poinsettia, who named that anyway? I'd call them red flower. Red shrub. If you took it out and we'd have that pot there and we filled it full of water until it started overflowing, that's what that word means. We are complete in Christ. We're overflowing with Christ. He has totally saturated everything in our being. The Bible says in Psalm 138:8, one of my favorite scriptures, I think I've shared this with you before, but that scripture, the reason it's so dear to me is I had a little girl one time draw a picture of me. And she drew me with, I had a kind of, my beard was, I was all stubble beard, you know what I mean? And my hair was kind of sticking up. And it was, in other words, my teeth were, there's one tooth missing and one over here. You know what I'm saying? She drew a picture of me, and then underneath it, she said, Bill, don't ever forget Psalm 138:8, which says this: He will perfect those things which concerneth you. He's going to straighten you all out. He's going to get you okay. You know, he'll put the teeth back in. Amen. Oh, you're going to look great. God is so good. The Bible says in Psalm 62:8, it says, trust in him at all times, every minute, every situation, whatever's happening to you. It says, trust in him at all times, people. Pour out your heart before him. God never, ever, ever grows weary of his sheep that pour out their heart to him anytime. And the reason? God is a refuge for us. God is a refuge for us. Boy, I pray you put that in your heart. Never forget it, that God is our refuge and we can trust him. Listen, the only place, like the Avenger, you know, or like they're the manslayer running, the only place that he could ever find any protection from the Avenger of the Blood was a city of refuge. Jesus is our only refuge. There is no other one. And there's no other person, no other place to run for asylum in the entire world. Think about that. Except our Lord. He's our refuge from sin. He's our refuge from hell. He's our refuge from death. And he's also our refuge from the evil one, the wicked one, the worst, most horrible entity in all of the universe, the devil, the evil one. The Bible says in 2 Thessalonians 3:3, but the Lord is faithful, who will establish you, which means put you on a firm foundation, and guard you from the evil one. I'm so glad that he does that. Amen. Now, hold your place because we're going to be back here, but turn with me to Hebrews just for a moment, chapter 6, as I turn with you. And let's look at something just for a moment about our refuge. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 17 is where we're going to be. But I'll start reading in verse 13, if you don't mind. It says, for when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless you, multiplying I will multiply you. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For indeed men swear by the greater, and an oath of confirmation is for them an end of all dispute. Now watch this in verse 17. Thus God, determining to show more abundantly to the heirs of promise. Now we're the heirs of promise. We're Abraham's spiritual seed, if you will. He says, the heirs of promise, the immutability, meaning that word means the unchangeableness of God's counsel, confirmed, that word is only found right there in the New Testament. It means a divine guarantee. Confirmed it how? By an oath. God says, I want to show you so abundantly more. I want you to get this into your heart. God makes a promise and he says, you know what? I never, ever, 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 ever change a promise. And after the promise and our altar, he will never do that. And look what he says, that by two unchangeable or immutable things in which it is, what, difficult? Impossible for God to lie. He has absolutely no capacity to lie. He cannot lie. That we might have strong consolation or great encouragement who have, what, fled for refuge. In other words, we fled to Jesus from this sin-filled world. We fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us. You know, when I read that scripture, not that I have a depth of it that is just mind-blowing, but it's so humbling for me. When I think of this, it hurts me. And the reason it hurts me is because, see, these two unchangeable things, God did two things. He gave us a double assurance. I mean, he didn't have to do that. God could just say, this is it. I mean, I said it, that's enough. But he said, no, he gave us a promise and then the oath. He gave us a double assurance. And what did God do? God, our Father, he pledges himself. He gives himself as a security, almost like a hostage. It's almost like he's taking an oath in our own presence. So the cities of refuge here where a man could flee if he accidentally killed someone, listen carefully. You remember when the high priest died that we read over in verses there in 1 through 9 in chapter 20 of Joshua. After the high priest died, the person who unintentionally killed someone, he could finally go home. He could be released. Now listen, we have fled to Christ. He is our eternal high priest. He lives and he never dies. He lives by the power of an endless life, and he has obtained eternal salvation for us. I'm so thankful that we can go to him. He knows our feelings. He knows what we're going through. He knows our weaknesses. He knows why a man lies. He knows why a man steals. He knows everything. And we can run to him. And you know what it says about this hope set before us? It says this hope we have. This is present and continuous, by the way. We have as an anchor of the soul, meaning our salvation. Our salvation, look at it now, is both sure, it can never ever be broken, and steadfast. That word literally means it will support whatever steps upon it, which enters the presence behind the veil. Now that's in heaven. That's the Holy of Holies. I'm so glad that we have the anchor tonight, aren't you? What does an anchor do? It holds you. It keeps you secure. But this is not an anchor that goes to the bottom of the sea. This is a supernatural anchor, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who's sitting at the right hand of God for us. It says, where the forerunner has entered for us, even Jesus, having become a high priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek, which means basically this. We have access to God. That's why it says in Hebrews 10:19, it says, therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest, right there in the presence of God, by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of the faith. You know, we have access. We need to draw near. You know, if we draw nigh unto God, God will draw nigh unto us. Not only is God our refuge tonight, but you know what? The church of the living God, us here tonight, we're a place of refuge for those that are hurting, those that are wounded, those that are bruised, the sinners, the lost, where they can come and they'll be loved and they'll be touched and they'll be healed. Amen? That's what it's all about. Now, look, let's go back to chapter 21 in Joshua. Go to 21 verse 1 and look at here at the Levitical cities and so forth. It says, then the heads of the fathers of the house of the Levites came near to Eleazar the priest, to Joshua the son of Nun, and to the heads of the fathers' houses of the tribes of the children of Israel. They spoke to them at Shiloh in the land of Canaan, saying, the Lord commanded through Moses to give us cities to dwell in with their pasture lands, their common lands, okay, and our livestock. In other words, they have to have a place for their livestock to graze. So the children of Israel gave the Levites from their inheritance, did you catch that? From their inheritance, at the commandment of the Lord, these cities and their common lands. So the last distribution is now going to take place. Remember that the Levites were set apart for the tabernacle, the work of the ministry, and God was their portion. God was their inheritance. And the Levites were not given an allotment of land at all. Again, God was their inheritance. And so here they are, the Levites now, they're scattered out all of the land of Israel, over these cities and so forth. And there they have pasture land that has been given unto them and a place to stay and so forth. And they're to do two things. They're going to take care of the tabernacle, yes, but they're also going to do something else. They're the people, the Levites, who teach the word of God through the whole land. But unfortunately, as we're going to learn when we get into Judges and other books of the Bible, as we study out the historical books, that evidently the Levites didn't do so well. Because we find that the children of Israel, they turned back. They turned their backs on God and they turned to idols and so forth. So evidently they failed. Now drop down to verse 41, if you would, there in chapter 21. And all of the cities of the Levites within the possession of the children of Israel were 48 cities with their common lands. Now you can go and read all of that tonight, okay? And you can put it on your refrigerator, whatever you want to do. There's a lot of stuff there. And it says, every one of these cities had its common land or the pasture land surrounding it, and thus were all these cities. Now, So the Lord gave Israel all the land which he had sworn to give to his fathers. In other words, God kept his covenant that he made with Abraham all the way back in Genesis chapter 12, I believe it is, verse 7, where God promised Abraham, to you and your descendants, I will give unto you all this land. And he says, and they took possession of it, and they dwelt in it. There are some, and I don't want to get off on this tonight, but there are some great theologians and expositors of the Bible that that verse that I just concluded with means that God fulfilled his promise to the nation of Israel. They received the land, and that was it. Well, they did receive the land, and what they're saying, it was all fulfilled in that verse. But that's not true. It can't be true. Because, see, the covenant that God made with Israel was an everlasting covenant. And they're going to be thrown off of the land. And then you can study out Amos and other books of the Bible, and you'll find that God promises to bring them back into the land. Amen? So it's an everlasting covenant. Matter of fact, now Israel is in the land again. So those who say that this completely fulfilled that word from God, I don't agree with that at all. So the Lord gave them rest all around. That's what we need tonight, rest. According to all that he had sown to their fathers. And not a man of all their enemies stood against them. The Lord delivered all their enemies into their hand. Not a word, a single utterance, a single word, loved one, failed of any good thing which the Lord had spoken to the house of Israel. About half of it came to pass. No, all of it came to pass. Listen, God's faithfulness is perfect. And his record is absolutely perfect. Not one word, an utterance, failed. And, you know, we get, sometimes we want to elevate, you know, like Joshua. And there's nothing wrong with letting him be a superior example. Or Caleb, wonderful examples. But let me ask you a question. Who gave the land? The Lord. Who gave them rest? The Lord. It says, who delivered them from all their enemies? The Lord. Listen, the thing is we're going to elevate someone. Let's elevate the Lord. Amen. Jesus said in John 15:5, he says, without me, you can't do a thing. You can do absolutely nothing. Nothing. We need the Lord to help us in everything that we do, even to breathe right now, because our breath belongs to him. I pray that as you enter into 2015, that you hold this truth and let it burn into your heart that God is a refuge. But more than that, that his word is absolutely true. I mean, not one word failed. All of God's promises, each and every one of them concerning you, is true. You don't have to help God out. God knows what you need. Every promise is true. Every promise of God is true, and not one word of his will ever, ever fail you. You know it, and I know it. But let me state it again. We can build our lives on the infallible, inerrant, beautiful, wonderful, perfect truth of God's word. Amen? We can do that tonight. We can say, Lord, you said it. That settles it. I know you're going to take care of me. I know you are. I know, matter what I'm facing, no matter what I'm going through today, tomorrow, next year, we can trust the Lord. We can build our life on God's word. Gosh, I tell you, the church needs to get back to that. God said it, and that settles it. I'm not going to let anybody, I don't care what the world says. I don't care what my mind is saying. I don't care what the devil says. God, my Father, said it, and that is all I need. That's all I need. Faith cometh by hearing, and by hearing the word of God. You remember when Balaam was trying to curse Israel all the way back in Numbers 23? He said this, you know, he's trying to curse them, and all of a sudden, the spirit of prophecy and all that, he says, oh, God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. I know he was talking to Balak. In other words, to the king Balak there, and say, hey, listen, Balak, God's not going to change his mind about Israel, man. We've been trying to curse him, and every time I curse him, I turn around and bless them. Remember that story? He goes on and he says, has he said and will he not do? Or has God spoken and will he not make it good? Behold, I received a command, he's saying, Balaam is saying, a command to bless, and he has blessed. Listen to what Balaam says. And I cannot reverse it. When God blesses his church, when God blesses Israel, when God blesses the sheep of his pasture, no one, no man, no government, no devil, no one can reverse what God has done. And I tell you, I look at that and I say, oh God, you are so good. Your unbreakable commitment to us, your unbreakable everlasting commitment to Israel. Listen, we tonight are the church of the living God. And I know this, and I believe it with all of my heart. We have been a past fact and a present reality. We have been pronounced blessed by our Father, which art in heaven. And no one can change that. No one can reverse that. It says in Ephesians 1:3, remember what it said? It says, blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has, again, a past fact, a present reality, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. That's not talking about when we get to heaven, loved one. That is here right this minute. God cannot do any more or give any more than he has already given to us in Christ. The only way to get it is just like Joshua and the mighty men of war that went into the land. You have to take it, your possession, by faith. You have to lay hold of it by faith. You have to believe it no matter what. No matter what, you have to believe it. And if you'll stand on that, I mean stand on it, no matter if you feel like the whole world is crumbling down and everything is falling apart in your life, I'm telling you, when you lay hold of it by faith and you believe what God says in his word about you, something is going to give. Something is finally going to collapse and it's not going to be you. You don't know. And I don't know what next year holds. We don't know what's on the edge of this world. We don't know what's happening, but God does. We can't keep entering year after year and not saying to ourselves and to our hearts and to our families and to our children, say, Lord, you are my refuge. I'm not going to cling to anything in this life, anything in this world. I'm going to hold on to you. Nothing wrong with enjoying your life. There's nothing wrong with having a great home. There's nothing wrong with having a car that runs well, and especially if it's a Corvette, okay? But the fact of the matter is this, that I don't know what's coming next year. I haven't even received a word from God. This is the latest in 22 years that it's been that I've not received the word for Calvary Chapel. Maybe I'm not going to get a word this year. Maybe it's like God is saying, my word's all you need, Bill. You don't have to have a New Year's message every year. I don't know. But I do know this, I'm really listening. I'm saying, Lord, is it that bad? Do I not have enough faith to receive it? Is it going to be something, Lord, that would stretch the faith of this church where I would not get up and say it? You know, that's happened to me before. I had to repent. You know, the day before 9/11 occurred, Thomas, all this, we were sitting at our table having dinner. As God is my witness, Thomas is in the back, he'll verify this. We were having dinner. We finished our prayer. And all of a sudden, the presence of God just filled our dining room. And I nearly started weeping. And I looked at my wife. I said, oh, God, honey, we're headed for war. I said, the darkness that I just felt in my heart, I said, something terrible is getting ready to happen. And we prayed. We bowed our head and we prayed. The next morning, there on Carson Street, I was driving in and I received a telephone call from my wife. She said, the airplanes have hit, those jets flew into the Twin Towers. I said, what? Who told you that? She said, your brother. I said, well, you can't trust my brother, you know? And she said, no, I just turned on the TV. And immediately we set up TV inside of here and it was just a day of prayer. Listen, we don't know what's happening. We don't know what tomorrow holds. Do you hear me? But we know who holds tomorrow, and that's why God must be in the Christian's heart. We can't be flippant about it. We have to say, Lord, you are my fortress. You are my strength. You are my help in trouble, very present help in trouble. Oh, God, Jesus, you are my refuge. I can run to you, and I am safe. No matter what happens in my life, I'm safe if I run to you. Because God is our refuge today, tomorrow, and for all eternity. Amen.
Pastor Bill will be back tomorrow with another message from the book of Joshua. So please join us again, won't you? Thank you for listening with us today. And until next time, may the Lord bless you. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.